Panchaleshu, in the land of Panchala, Samehitaha, greatly increased. Translation by the Divine Grace of Prabhupada. Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by the sons and grandsons of King Puranda. Please repeat. Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by the sons and grandsons of King Puranda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We must remember that Puranjana is the living entity and the city Panchala is the body. The body is the field of activity for the living entity, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetra, Kshetra, Gya. There are two constituents. One is the living entity, Kshetra, Gya, and the other is the body of the living entity, Kshetra. Any living entity can know that he is covered by the body if he only contemplates the body a little. Just with a little contemplation, he can come to understand that the body is his possession. One can understand this by practical experience and by the authority of the Shastra. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.31, it is stated, Dehi Nashmin Jatha Dehi, the proprietor of the body, the soul, is within the body. The body is taken as Panchala Desh, or the field of activities wherein the living entity can enjoy the senses in their relationship with the five sense objects, namely Gandha, Rasa, Rupa, Sparsha and Shabda. That is sense object made out of earth, water, fire, air and sky. Within this material world, covered by the material body of the subtle and gross matter, every living entity creates actions and reactions which are herein known allegorically as sons and grandsons. There are two kinds of actions and reactions, namely pious and impious. In this way, our material existence becomes coated by different actions and reactions. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur states, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kebola Vishero Khanda, Omrita Boliya Jebar Khai, Nana Jani Sada Phire, Padarjo Bhakkhan Kare, Tar Jambo Adhukpate Jai. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are simply cups of poison. Whoever drinks them, thinking them to be nectar, must struggle very hard life after life in different types of bodies. Such a person eats all kinds of nonsense and becomes condemned by his activities of so-called sense enjoyment. Thus the field of action and reaction by which one descendants are increased begins with sex life. Puranjan increased his whole family by begetting sons, who in their turn begot grandsons. Thus the living entity, being inclined to a sexual gratification, becomes involved in many hundreds and thousands of actions and reactions. In this way, he remains within the material world simply for the purpose of sense gratification and transmigrates from one body to another. His process of reproduction, so many sons and grandsons, results in so-called societies, nations, communities, and so on. All these communities, societies, dynasties, and nations simply expand for sex life. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Janmaitunadi Grihamedi Sukham Vipicham. Bhagavatam 7.9.45. A Grihamedi is one who wants to remain within this material existence. This friendship, love and community. This means that he wants to remain within this body or society and enjoy friendship, love and community. His only enjoyment is in increasing the number of sex enjoyers. He enjoys sex and produces children, who in their turn marry and produce grandchildren. The grandchildren also marry and in their turn produce great grandchildren. In this way, the entire earth becomes overpopulated, and then suddenly there are reactions provoked by material nature in the form of war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, etc. Thus, the entire population is again extinguished simply to be recreated. The process is explained in Bhagavad Gita 8.19 as repeated creation and annihilation. Bhutya bhutya praliyate. Due to lack of Krishna consciousness, all this creation and annihilation is going on under the name of human civilization. This cycle continues due to man's lack of knowledge of the soul and the Supreme Personality. Putranam cha bhavan putra, ekvaikasya shatam shatam, jayin vayin kouran jano vamshaha, vancha leshu samedhidaha. Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchal became overcrowded by the sons and grandsons. So, often people do not understand the spiritual subject matter. Therefore, they need to be told in a certain way that they can register or understand, the purpose of those narrations. Narad Muni realized that King Prachinavarti was not going to listen to direct spiritual instruction. Narad Muni became compassionate towards him because he saw that the Prachetas were so wonderfully involved in spiritual activity. And he saw their father was still completely engrossed in sense gratification. Although he was gratifying his senses in a bona fide way, that is, performing the sacrifices according to the Vedic injunction, but still materialistic way of life, material involvement is material involvement, whether it is done in a pious way or sinful. Whether it is according to the tenets of the scriptures or against the teachings of the scriptures. So Narad Muni felt that this person should be diligent. This person should receive spiritual benefit for the sake of his children. His children need such advancement. They wanted to prepare themselves for materialistic way of life by performing austerities, and then in course of their endeavor they came across Lord Shiva and received benediction from Lord Shiva. Actually, they received the process of spiritual perfection from Lord Shiva. And they were absorbed in Krishna consciousness and they received the mercy of the Supreme Person. So then Narad Muni went and met King Prachinavarti, and he started to tell him the story of Purana. Puranjan is the story of a conditioned soul. Puranjan is none other than a spirit soul who is entangled in the material. Every living entity is entangled in the material nature in the same way. Although they may look different, they may come from different backgrounds, they may have different types of bodies, but the principle is the same. The principle is forgetfulness of Krishna and entanglement into the illusory energy of the world. Krishna bohirmukhoya bhogavansha kare nikatastha maya kare japatiya. As soon as a living entity turns his face away from Krishna, all it takes is just turning one's face away from Krishna. Krishna bohirmukhoya. And what is the result of that turning away from Krishna? Bhogavanshaka. He wants to enjoy. He wants to enjoy this material. And why? That also has been very wonderfully described or explained. That Krishna, bohirmukh or away from Krishna means Krishna is external. Either it is Krishna's external energy. When you look towards Krishna, it is Krishna's internal potency. And when we look away from Krishna, it is Krishna's external. So this is how Krishna is all pervading. This material, this away from, when a living entity looks away from Krishna, he looks at Krishna's external energy. What is the external energy? External energy is the interior energy. Aparapara. Now the living entity, the jiva bhuta, the living entity, the spirit souls, they are coming from Krishna's internal potency. So being from Krishna's internal potency, the living entity is a superior. And this material nature is Krishna's inferior energy. So when a superior comes across something that is inferior, he naturally develops a tendency to lord. Living entity cannot help it. He is bound. Every living entity is bound to become entangled in the material nature as soon as it becomes exposed to the material. Because material nature is inferior and living entity. Material nature is unconscious, living entity is conscious. And the way the living entity is perceiving everything is also inferior. Living entity is not seeing other living entities as living entities. They are seeing just the material body. So, consciousness is superior to matter. Therefore, the tendency is there to exploit this material. Exploit the objects of the material. So that is the story of Puranjan. He wants to enjoy. And he is traveling around the entire universe trying to enjoy. And fortunately, if he gets a human form of life, a city of 9 gates, a body with 9 openings, 9 holes, 2 ears, 2 nose, 2 nostrils, 2 eyes, 1 mouth, and anus, belly, and ear. The city of 9 gates. So, not belly, sorry, anus and ear. So 9 mouth, anus, and belly. So 3, 1, 2 eyes. Ears, nostrils. When he gets a body, human form of body, he gets a special prerogative. But his endeavor to material nature ultimately is spoiled. ultimately is defeated. No matter how much he tries to enjoy, no matter how expert he is in enjoying, no matter how many facilities he has, eventually he'll have to succumb to death. Old age, disease, death. Kalakanya, the daughter of time, embraces. And when Kalakanya, the daughter of time, embraces Puranjana, the living entity, he loses all his energy. Old age. Kalakanya, the daughter of time. The time embraces us. What happens? Youth is gone. The vitality of the body is gone. And old age will become affected by old age. Then disease, the onslaught of the agents of Jamaraj, Javanaraj. And then finally Puranjana is dragged out. So here Prabhupada is pointing out the futility of this material existence, materialistic sphere. I was just thinking, just this one purport, if we can understand, this one purport, we understood the entire world of Srimad Bhagavatam, entire Vedic wisdom. Like, living entities are trying to enjoy in this material. And what is the form of his enjoyment? His enjoyment is of two kinds, indulgence and rejection. He tries to enjoy, and when his enjoyment is frustrated, then he wants to get out. Karmakanda, Gyanam. Karmakanda of the Veda is part of the Veda. It's a reflection of the Veda. The Veda is telling how to enjoy the material. The Karmakanda. Bona fide, although, bona fide way of enjoying, but after all it's leading to a material enjoyment. And the bottom line is, that any endeavor for material enjoyment is futile. Any enjoyment, any endeavor to enjoy the material nature will ultimately culminate into suffering. We cannot avoid that. Sukha and dukkha. Our endeavors will ultimately culminate into suffering. Because this material nature is full of suffering. We may make arrangements for all kinds of enjoyment. But because this is dukkhalaya, it's a place of suffering, and this body is an instrument to receive pain. There is no way we can avoid suffering. So when one suffers, and naturally nobody wants to suffer, when one realizes, when one comes to his senses and sees that all my endeavor to enjoy, may enjoy is ultimately culminating to suffering, why should I waste my time in trying to enjoy? Let me get out of this. This is not a place for itself. That is the desire for liberation. And that aspect, that how to become liberated from this material bondage, has been given in the Gyanakanda section of the Veda. But that is also not the ultimate way of liberation. The only way to get liberated, the only way to become free from this miserable suffering condition of this material nature is by surrendering unto Krishna. So Karmakanda and Gyanakanda sections of the Vedas are ultimately misleading the living. But the arrangement is there, okay, you try yourself and see what is the ultimate. What is the ultimate consequence? You try to enjoy, your enjoyment will be foiled. Your endeavor for enjoyment will be frustrated. You try to become liberated, that is not the way, actual way of liberation. Running away in a prison house is not becoming free. One may escape from the prison, but does he really become free? he may scale the wall or dig a tunnel out of the prison and get out, but does he become free? No. Rather, his condition becomes even more miserable. Now he has to hide in all kinds of solitary places. So, and if he is caught, his sentence will be multiplied. So this is how a living entity, when he tries to become free from the material bondage, will be ultimately an end in an even more miserable consequence. So that is why, that is why Narottam Das Thakur is telling here, karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevali vishara. Vedic injunction are nothing that has been given in karma kanda and jnana kanda section of the Vedas are nothing but a pot of poison. These are two pots of poison. One doesn't actually want to drink poison, one wants to drink nectar. But instead of nectar, what he is getting is the poison. Omrita boliya jeva khai. Thinking it to be nectar, when one drinks them, he simply increases his suffering. Nana yonim praman khai. He transmigrates. He doesn't become liberated. Rather, he transmigrates from one body to another. Nana yonim. Father your bhakkhan kare and eats all kinds of garbage, all kinds of garbage. And tar jatma azupati. He is doomed. So the real goal of life is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality. That's why Krishna is also telling him about it. Traigunna vishaya veda. Jistraigunna vada. The Vedas are simply dealing with the three modes of material. So you become transcendental to the most. So that is to surrender unto Krishna. So that is the point that Narad Muni is trying to explain. That is the instruction that Narad Muni is trying to give to King Prachinabardhi, the father of the Krishna. Now this knowledge, very fortunately, we have received. We are very fortunate that this knowledge, which is very, very precious and very rare, we receive this knowledge by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. And now our business should be to become Prabhupada's representatives and distribute this knowledge all over the world. Prabhupada knew that we may not be qualified to distribute knowledge properly. Therefore, Prabhupada was so particular, so emphatic about putting this knowledge, putting this wisdom very systematically within Bhakti Vedanta purport in his books. We may not be able to give this knowledge to others. We may not be so systematically explain it to others. But if we can give Srila Prabhupada's books and if they open Srila Prabhupada's books and start reading it, what will they get? They'll very easily get it. That's why Prabhupada was so involved, Prabhupada was so concerned about writing his books, and Prabhupada was so concerned about distributing them. Because what is our mission? Our mission is to spread Krishna. Mahaprabhu, we belong to Mahaprabhu's family. Mahaprabhu's family. And what is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire is to spread Krishna consciousness all over. And therefore Mahaprabhu has instructed all his followers, those who follow him, he instructed them to spread this knowledge to whoever he meets. And that's why our main mission is to perform this supreme act of benevolence, the supreme benevolent action. This benevolent action is to give out Krishna consciousness. And the way to do it is by giving. We should also speak to people ourselves and preach. But the most effective thing, the most effective way of preaching is by distributing Srila Prabhupada. We give Prabhupada's books, what we are giving? We are giving a book. These books are not different from Srila Prabhupada. These books are Srila Prabhupada's body. There are two ways a spiritual master is manifest. Vapu and Subha. His form, physical form, and his instrument. Therefore, it is so important to distribute Srila Prabhupada's book. And now that the marathon is going on, we make a very special endeavor to distribute Srila Prabhupada. It's the book marathon. Marathon to distribute. So please distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Whoever you are, all glories, go to heaven.